Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you'd like to be a guest, have any show ideas, or a question, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Also, check out my television show, The Alexa Show, Mondays and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. on White Plains Public Access TV or on alexatvshow.com. Well, tonight I have such an incredible show. Tonight on the line I have Deborah Mazda. We will be discussing her book, Eating My Secrets. Obesity has plagued Deborah throughout her childhood and teen years, culminating in a mental breakdown in her 30s. This began her journey to health, healing, and hope. Not only did she lose over 100 pounds, but she was able to forgive those who abused her for years. Eating My Secrets is the story of a woman who was stuck in the pits of hell, but was lifted back up by God, who had a bigger plan for her life. Her faith has supported her for years. Today, she's on a mission to help women silence the shame that so many suffer from by telling her story of challenges, setbacks, and triumphs. She's moving the conversation of abuse in a new, positive direction. Deborah, welcome to Insight into Healing, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate the great bio and the chance to tell my story. Thank you so much, Alexa.
Yes. So please, tell us how it all began with the book and on this journey, because it sounds like there was a whole history before this all happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book's been in the works for many years. There were many, many times when, you know, I had to relive the past, and it was really hard to write about it. I had always kept a journal. From 1990, I went back and had my journal, so I knew that I always knew I was going to write my story and tell other women's stories also. And so I began the process many, many years ago of writing this story. And you know, when sexual abuse came out about the Catholic Church and the Me Too movement, and you know, I knew that there was a need for me to tell my story, not only for my own purpose, but for other women also. And I really wanted to give a voice to the women who were living in shame and living in, you know, in fear in their own lives. Because no one, it's kind of shameful to speak about sexual abuse. It's almost like it's, you know, where the default has been put on the victim sometimes, to where the perpetrator makes you think that it was something that you did. And I lived that way for many, many years. So having been abused from childhood, food became my outlet. Food was my friend, my comfort, my companion, culminating with, you know, my mother, who was never around. And the abuser was around us quite a bit, my brother and I. So my weight escalated. And by eighth grade, I was over 200 pounds. Like I said, food was the comfort. It was the companion. It was the friendship that I had. And for a lot of women who are abused, food does become the same companion. So I think there's a big correlation between eating and sexual abuse, because that's where a lot of women turn to, is the food. It becomes your escape, as you would call it. So for me...
Yes.
My weight just kept escalating over and over and over and up and up and up. And the more anxiety, the more shame, the more sadness, the more anxiety that I felt, the more depressed that my mind started to become. And that inner critic was really working overtime into telling me how horrible that I was. I mean, I was on every diet from childhood. I had cow's urine injected into me. I had my jaws wired shut. I was doing the grapefruit diet, the this diet, the that diet, uppers, downers. I didn't know if I was coming or going half the time. My life as a child and in my teens was focused on a couple things. One thing was how to lose weight, and the other was how to never diet again. And neither one of those things worked. So my weight escalated to over 300 pounds, and that was leading me into a major depression. And, you know, it just was not a good place for me to be at that time.
No. And I think this is so important to bring up this dialogue, as I always say throughout my show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough topic, but this dialogue has to be brought up. And I know it's hard for many
right.
people because of the stigma and of the shame. But I think we
mm-hmm.
need to educate those that are not exposed or don't have the education on sexual abuse, eating disorders, depression, and really become educated. People can't live behind a closed door with blinders on saying, I can't hear this. Unfortunately, so many women and men are affected by sexual abuse, depression, eating disorders, that it's such an important dialogue, and I really commend you for bringing a voice to so many that just don't have the strength to do it.
Well, you know, Alexa, it was a real secret in my life. And, you know, for a lot of women, you go through life, like, you know, I would say to myself, did that really happen to me? Your brain, your mind starts to work on, you know, when you're not believing that it happened, but, you know, emotionally you know it happened, but physically did it happen? And I went through the same thing until I had my breakdown in my early 30s. I had a total mental breakdown where my mind went blank, and I had to be admitted into a psychiatric unit in the Philadelphia area. And I was in this hospital for, I think, 4 weeks. And the first couple days, I think I was on so many drugs, I don't remember being there. I just remember that my mind just blanked out. And but it was in that hospital, I can tell you, that that's when I started to get better. You know, I was in a unit with all kind of people with psychosis, people with schizophrenia. There were people, and I saw them, like, worse off than I was. I had this, you know, this situational depression, but I saw these people, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I have to get myself better. You know, I really, really was in a good place at that point to get myself better. I knew that God was with me, and I was on the way up. You know, I was not going to keep going down. I was on the way up. I mean, it took time. I don't want to sound like it was so easy to do, but I looked at what was going on around me, and I had some really good help. I had a really, really close friend who I'm still in touch with, who helped me a lot. She took me to her house. She took care of me. I was really downtrodden by then. I don't think I could even get a shower on my own. That's how depressed I was. And so when I went into the hospital, I think it was like in the late 80s. I think it was about 1988 or 89. So it was 30 years ago when I was like in my early 30s. And that one moment, that was a big moment to bring me to a place where I was going to get better. For a lot of people, that doesn't happen. For me, it did, because I really believe that God had a bigger plan for my life at that time. So I knew that being in that hospital was part of my saving grace, as I would call it. And, you know, when they admitted they can't tell anybody where you're at. I was 302'd, but I called my mom. And, you know, my mom and I had been in therapy for a while because she knew that, you know, I was being molested by her quote-unquote boyfriend at the time. And I really believe, and I still do today, and, you know, I have forgiven my mother, totally forgiven her. I've forgiven my stepfather. I've totally forgiven them for what they did to me, what they allowed to happen. And I actually, at one point, really felt sorry for them in some crazy way. I had to think to myself, you know, they were pathetic. And I said to myself, you know, I was just kind of the moving part that they were using for this crazy world that they were both living in. But in the end, through all the setbacks, the challenges, the depression and the sadness, girlfriend, I've come out of this victorious. I've come out of this with, great victory in my life. I have a great, great career right now. I have a voice right now. I speak out about things right now. And I want women to know that you don't have to live in that shame anymore. You don't have to do it, because living in that shame creates a whole life. You know, it's just not that one isolated thing, but it creates a whole life of feeling the pain, breaking down, feeling chained to something, you know, maybe not forgiving. Maybe you don't think you deserve to feel better. Maybe you don't deserve to look better. But my mission right now is to have women understand that it was not their fault. And I remember the first therapist I went to, I could feel that my mind was starting to really skid out of life. I mean, I was having flashbacks, major flashbacks, forgetting things. And I was living in Florida at the time, where I live now, but this was years ago. And I remember my first therapist, a gentleman named Glenn. I like it happened yesterday, I'm telling you, God brought him in my way, and he said to me, this was not your fault. That statement, that one statement changed the course of my life when he said to me, it was not your fault this happened. These were adults. You were a child, adults that were abusing you. And Alexa, I'm telling you, that put me on another course. And I would hope that women listening to this, and I'm going to tell them the same thing, it was not your fault. If your parents are alcoholics or they're drug addicts or they're just abusive, you just got caught in that fire right there, you know. But it wasn't your fault. So many times we go through life thinking it's our fault when relationships don't happen, when friendships don't happen, when this doesn't happen, that we did something wrong. But
I think it's powerful for your story, though, for so many listeners to know that it's sometimes it can take a year, but sometimes it can take many, many years before you start having the strength, the motivation to find your voice. So I want to make sure people don't feel discouraged or feel that their time is up. Because as you said, and I say so many times on my show, one, find a community. Even though maybe sometimes people think going into the hospital might not be a positive, but that had a community for you. That served a purpose. That one therapist that you still remember today that said it's not your fault was a pivotal moment in your healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I really urge those that are suffering, no matter what they're suffering, seek out. And it's okay if you don't find it at first. I know it's discouraging and it's hard. But don't give up. It's just finding the strength and the motivation and the support. And then there's so many layers. There is the emotional feelings that you have to deal with, the physical layer, and then also finding your sense of self and defining who you are. The abuse doesn't define you. It is something that happened to you that you need to find closure and work through.
It's not who you are,
and it's not your foundation.
Right. What I started to do was I started to keep a journal. I have journals going back all the way to prior to when I was in the hospital. So I started a journal in 1988, and I kept a journal, and I kept going back. And I have some pieces of that journal, in my new book called Eating My Secrets. It's my story. It's other women's stories. And it's a story about hope, healing, and health. And it's a story of triumph. I don't want to dwell so much on the negative as the positive, but you're right. For some people, it took me a very long time. None of this happened overnight. This has been 30 years in the process. You know, I just got to the point where I just said to myself, I have to get the word out there. You know, I don't feel shame anymore. I don't feel discouraged anymore. I'm a really happy, positive person. I feel very motivated. And I'm not shameful about my life. I have forgiven those people that harmed me and hurt me. And that's a really good place to begin. So another thing is that you need to forgive yourself. So many times we just don't forgive ourselves. We're too negative on ourselves. We're just too down on ourselves. And there's a whole cycle of secrecy, comfort, and shame that some people have around them, and they just feel, shameful. That's the word that I can use. And so what happens is when you feel those things, you have this inner critic that's just telling you how horrible you are, and you begin to live in chaos and fear. And that's not a good place. That's not a good place to be. So for me, it's, right, finding support, maybe finding a good therapist, maybe having a really good friend that doesn't judge you, you know, somebody that's not going to judge you and not going to try to fix you, you know, just going to listen to you, let you sit there, hold their hand, maybe cry about things, you know, keep a journal. Prayer was important to me. My faith is one of the most important things. It is the most important thing in my life. So for me, you know, calling out to God to help me and living in that realm is really, really important to me. So,
absolutely.
And I had
I
to
agree
ask
with you 100%
right.
about faith. I find that is so important for anyone, for the healing process. I think also to keep moving forward and being able to open
mm-hmm.
yourself up. And I know so many times in my private practice, people, you know, are discouraged or they're angry with God or they have questions. And I always
mm-hmm.
encourage them.
Absolutely.
It's okay to be angry. It's okay to question God. You're allowed
right.
to do that.
Right.
But don't shut him out and don't shut down
right.
from him. Keep
right.
that open dialogue as you would to a loved one.
The one thing that I've learned is that no matter what I've gone through, whether it's the ups, the downs, the north, the south, God has been with me the whole way, and he's there holding my hand. And, you know, for the longest time, I'd say, well, then why did this happen? And now I can realize that because I'm going to give a voice to a lot of women. I've had a lot of women read my book. My book, again, is called Eating My Secrets, and they've said to me, you know, that they can identify with what I wrote in the book, and they feel that they're going to have their own voice now, you know, because it's very shameful. I mean, to think about something like that, because when you're abused as a child, you know, it puts your whole world into a sexual deviation. You know, I always looked at sex after all this happened to me. I always looked at sex as like love never came into the picture. It was like, if you love me, you're going to have sex with me. And so you associate love and sex in the same sentence, you know, and that's mm-hmm. really not the way that it goes, you know. So
especially
for women,
being introduced
so for
at
women,
such a young age with the sexuality,
yes,
which I think is another layer that you're introduced
right.
to the sexuality
so,
at such a young age where you
mm-hmm,
can't define it.
Right,
so it
right,
becomes to this
right.
point where as an older person, you have to start defining what intimacy is, what love is, and working
right.
through the trauma, because your first sexual experience was a sexual trauma.
Right, right. And so for me, love became eating. Eating becomes love when you're sexually abused. You know, I watch a lot of shows with a lot of people that are really, really obese, and if you listen to their story, most of them will tell you they were sexually abused somewhere along the line, and they used food. Well, that's what I did. I used food for my comfort and, you know, to calm me down. I mean, food was the thing that was there readily available. My mother was gone a whole lot. She would leave this guy with me. And, you know, it just became like a nightmare all the time. And as I got older, I didn't put the two and two together until I got out of the hospital, until I was in the hospital. So for me, you know, like I said, that hospital stay was like the kind of the beginning of my life. So it's been 30 years. It's been 30 years in the making. All this just didn't happen overnight. And for me, one of the biggest healing parts of my life, you know, another part of my life was exercise. I became, I'm a physiologist. I worked for Richard Simmons, and exercise was a huge healing part of my life. Beginning to eat right. That's how I lost my weight. You know, I'm down to a size. I've been a size 12 for the past 30 years. And, you know, I was always quite big, bigger. You know, I'm still a big woman, but I was really, really morbidly obese. And, you know, I really go into detail in my book a bit about all that. But for me, you know, exercise and beginning to eat right. And today I really tell women this, that although exercise was the catalyst for me, eating, the foods that we put into our body are really, really important for healthier living, not only mentally, physically, socially, spiritually, and emotionally. You know, so
yes.
Exercising and eating right.
I wanted to ask you, gym, how was it for you first starting out, going into the gym, working out? Because I find so many times, you know, that is so shameful, especially people who've had the sexual abuse and body image issues. What helped you show up that day at the gym? Because I find so many times getting that first step is the hardest.
Funny you should ask. I was living in a toxic relationship with an alcoholic. So he's an alcoholic. I'm obese. We both had these, addictions that we fed off of each other. And I got to the point where I could not even breathe. Okay, moving forward, I was living in Colorado at the time. I would go past this gym all the time and see these skinny people coming outside saying, I would say to myself, they got to be doing something right in there. So I would go past it all the time, and I'd park, and I'd sit. And one day I got the nerve up to open the door, and there was a flight of steps. And, Alexa, I got halfway up. I couldn't even breathe. I sat on the steps, and I cried for about 20 minutes. I came down. I went home. I felt so defeated. But I'm telling you, this angel of God was on my shoulders. And 2 days later, I said to myself, I'm going to get up those steps. And I got up those steps, and I opened the door, and this guy, John, was standing there. And he said to me, are you here to work out? And I'm telling you, this was in the 70s when nobody was overweight. Everybody was skinny in the 70s. The obesity and overweight problem that we have in this country is only pretty much in the past 30, 40 years. So I was one of the only few overweight, obese people, you know, and it was today, you know, you look around and everybody looks like everybody else. Back then, everybody was really skinny. But I went into this place and these people made me feel fabulous. Nobody looked at my body. Nobody was judging me. And I went into my first fitness class and I took this class and they had to get 3 bodybuilders to lift me off the floor when it was all over. I went home, I cried for 2 days, my body hurt so bad, but this guy John called me back, and he said to me, where have you been? And the rest is history.
Wow.
I have owned, I owned Shapely Girl Fitness, which is my fitness company. I have workout videos online, I have a motivational CD also. So today, you know, I became an athlete for many, many years. I was doing biathlons. I was running all kind of races. I still work out 4 to 5 days a week. And exercise has been a whole part of my life. But, again, it's I really go into detail in the book. But for me, it was like I was at the bottom of the barrel. You know, I couldn't get any worse than I was. I kind of bypassed that in my brain, and I just said I'm just going to do it. I started to turn that negative critic around into positive, saying, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. And here I am 35 years later still saying to myself, you can do this, you can do this.
And so I think that's so important, is to strengthen your voice, to find your voice. But then you define your voice. And I think the way you define your voice, as I say so many times to my listeners about different ways, your story was just such an illustration. And it's not easy about, you know, the first time you went halfway up the stairs and couldn't make it. And cried. And then the second time you went, but then had to be carried out. But now look at you. You have videos. You have this. So your videos and all of those, are these for people who obviously are not really, it's okay for people who haven't been in shape, people who just haven't really worked out or are obese, they can find your videos.
If they go to my website at DeborahMazda.com, they'll find I have 5 videos out. They're called Shapely Girl Fitness videos. They're for all shapes and sizes, all ages. I have a motivational CD and my book. I'm going to be going on a book tour really soon. And I want to get out there and I want to speak to women. I didn't just write this book to have it just sit on a shelf. I want to get out there. I want to meet women in the communities and start giving them hugs and telling them it's okay. You know, so many women are just so berating and belittling towards themselves. And we have to come up to the point where we acknowledge ourselves. We shouldn't feel apologetic about who we are. You know, each one of us is different. Nobody should want to look like a celebrity. You need to look like yourself and be who you are. Because I think that's really, really important that women understand that they have to really be who they are and don't apologize for the space they take up. Listen, I'm all about women losing weight, but I know a lot of women, I'm a size 12. I'm very comfortable in my body. I don't diet. I don't go on diets. I basically, you know, a lot of people ask me how I keep my weight down. You know, I bike a lot. I'm a cyclist. Yesterday I did 20 miles. So for me, that's what I love to do. I do my videos. I actually do my videos and I work out. And I also look at food as fuel for my body. Do I overeat? Sometimes I do. I fast 2 days a week. And the reasons why I fast is this. I give my digestive system a break so it's not working overtime. I don't fast to lose weight. I fast to give myself a break. I don't have to worry about what I'm eating for the day. And I do it every week, 2 days a week. I spread it out over like 4 days. And for me, that works. For me, that works fine. I don't believe in dieting.
Do you find that you had to really, because it sounds like you had to really create your relationship with food, which I think is so important, and with exercise, and make it a healthy one. Like any relationship, it has to be fostered. Yep. It has to be grown. And I think people really have to understand, it just doesn't happen. Okay, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, and I'm going to stay on this. It has to be a lifestyle change, a mental health change in yourself, saying, I want myself to be emotionally, physically, spiritually healthy and happy, and I have to treat myself every way in that way to keep that going.
Can I tell you, it's you know, when I see women online and women get a hold of me and they say, oh, I lost 4 pounds. Listen, I think that that's great. But what they don't understand is what it really takes to have that relationship with food. You're right. I had to really get my relationship with food. I have a really good relationship with food now. I don't hate food. I look at food as fuel for my body. Do I overeat sometimes? Of course I do. You know, of course I do. But not all the time. You know, what I do is if I overeat one day, I undereat the next day. If I undereat one day, you know, I just sort of have a really good relationship with food, you know.
Yeah, and I think also you're not punishing yourself.
I don't look at food. No.
If you overeat,
I'm not punishing myself.
Okay.
I'm not depriving.
Yes, the next day you can look at yourself and say, you know what, I overate. Tomorrow I'm just going to cut down my portions. And I think that's so important. Well, we're just about at the end of the show, and I wanted to see, how can my listeners follow you, buy your book, your videos? Where else can they find you? It's on social media.
They can find it on Amazon. My publisher is TBN. They can find it on Amazon. They could follow me on Facebook under Deborah Mazda. Or they could go to my website at www.deborahmazda.com. And there they can ask me any questions that they want. They can follow me. They could find out what I'm going to be doing next. And I would love to hear from people because I really think that it's really important that we as women have that circle of friends.
Absolutely. Well, Deborah, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your story and for all the incredible work that you do of inspiring so many people, because it's a God-given gift that you have, that you're able to give back from all the pain you've went through and be able to heal other people. And thank you so much for being on the show this evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Alexa. I really appreciate it. And I just want everybody to know in the end, it was not your fault. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Everyone, have a good night and God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen.